Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. If you are a fan of Brain Fever, if you are consumed with thoughts of consumption, this is the episode for you, folks. Shout out super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
What?
Man, this got me thinking. There's a bunch that we're not going to get to in this episode, but man, are there some fun-sounding diseases out there. Fun in quotation fingers, I guess. We don't talk about pink eye, but that doesn't that sound like the cutest of ailments? Oh, you got a little pink eye.
And I, Ben Bolin, as a colorblind person, have had the enviable position of having pink eye and not knowing what pink eye looks like.
Truly, Ben, it's just kind of bloodshot and watery. It's not much.
All right. Yeah. It's not pink at all. And when you learn how you get it, it's really...
It's poop. Everybody poop touch in the eye, right?
Yeah. Everybody touch your butt. Shout out to Mr. Noel Brown as well. Hello. Our Avengers are assembled, as you might be able to tell. We're slowly working our way out of our dirty humor phase. We went to the depths of it, the nadir of it, with James Joyce.
Plumbed them even, yeah, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes. All sorts of descriptions of farts.
It's sort of a trickled or its way down into our text exchanges, hasn't it, Ben?
It has a bit.
Little farty texts here and there, you know?
Something for the Museum of Podcasts when our time is done.
Or but, for HR, depending.
Or for both. For both, really, if we're being honest. That's why we were so thrilled. Max is our research associate for this one. Look, we talked about it in the past. The English language is weird. It's colonizer language. It's kind of a pirate language. They just took stuff willy-nilly and kind of freestyled the rules. And a lot of stuff in this language sounds very funny. Turns out diseases are no different, especially the further back you go in the past. We got to give a shout out to Esther Inglis Arkell from Gizmodo, who had a lot of the initial guiding force for this brief in this episode today.
Dare we say inspiration? 10 serious medical problems with cutesy names. you know, here's one that, you know, a lot of times on our other show, stuff they don't want you to know, or at least we used to do more of these kind of fake commercials, you know, for stuff that kind of pertained to the theme of the show, brought to you by our buddies at Illumination Global Unlimited. And oftentimes, Ben, you would rattle off a list of side effects and such for things that were maybe a potential faux medication of some kind, you know, satirical medication. Hell, you don't even have to go that far. Pharmaceutical commercials are pretty satirical in and of themselves, but you always throw in dropsy as one of the potential ailments that might be caused by said fictional medication. I've never really fully known what it was, and Esther Inglis Arkell points out that it sounds like more like one of Peter Rabbit's siblings than a disease. You know, what is it? Flopsy, mopsy, cottontail's sort of the outlier. Dropsy would be right at home. It would at least fit the rhyme scheme.
It also makes me think of Cropsy, which is just a terrifying documentary.
Right. Yeah, I was talking about that too. I've never really fully known what that was about either. It just sounds spooky. And is it Blair Witchy? Is it really a documentary, or is it sort of like a faux-cumentary?
Well, I'm not going to ruin it for people, but it is technically. So I guess the best way to describe it is it's kind of like a documentary that goes in a direction the filmmaker did not expect.
Okay, there you go.
So it's not, it's got Blair Witch vibes, but it is true.
Sort of like that one about tickling. Have you seen that one?
Oh, God, yeah, that was frightening.
I haven't seen it, but I know that it does that very thing. It's someone that sets out to make a charming documentary about tickling rings and professional tickling or tickling fetishists, and then it goes into like child kidnapping or something crazy like that. I think I'm exaggerating.
And assumed identity.
What is dropsy, Ben?
Dropsy, not to be confused with priapism, is a kind of swelling known as edema. And bonus points to any of the nerds who already knew what priapism is and why that swelling joke is hilarious.
Boing, right, leave exactly. It, leave it at that.
Boing, forever is the problem. Doctor, I'm way too turned on. And he's like, you got to stop listening to Sade late at night, man.
Or Ridiculous History, because we've also been known to cause some indefinite erections.
Especially during the James Joyce episode.
Oh boy. Sure. Oh, yeah. Boy, have we ever. That's where our pal Alex Circa, shout out. We'll see if Alex gets on air more often. But so that's where we had to warn our coworker Alex. We're like, hey, not all of our episodes are like this. Please understand, we are trying to be adults. Edema is a swelling caused by too much fluid, too many cooks of fluid trapped in the tissues of your body. And unlike priapism, it can affect all parts of your body. Any part can get that smoke.
Doesn't edema also sound like it should be the name of a Tool album?
It does. I'm really surprised it's not. It feels like Maynard has some opinions about that already. But Noel, I think edema is more likely to show up in your extremities, like your legs, your feet.
Yeah, that's right. Feet, hands, fat neck. No, I'm kidding. I made that one up. But yeah, it sometimes is indicated by the symptom of having stretchy or shiny skin, swelling or puffiness of the tissue, like underneath the skin, again, especially in the arms and legs, belly or abdominal swelling that is beyond, you know, just the typical pooch that many of us are blessed with. And also a feeling of leg heaviness. So like a bit of a leaden foot kind of syndrome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden you feel like your legs are two suitcases you're carrying around.
And you got a need for speed, baby.
Mm-hmm. And here's what happens. So this dropsy occurs when tiny blood vessels in your bodies, aka the capillaries, start to leak fluid. The fluid that they leak will build up in surrounding tissue, and that leak, per the Mayo Clinic, leads to the swelling. Mayo Clinic also, they're better, in my opinion, than WebMD. WebMD, everything is cancer. The Mayo Clinic, a little more reasonable, and they say, look, you can get dropsy from sitting in one position too long. That's happened to a lot of people with office jobs or during the pandemic. Eating too much salty food. And here's another one. This is the quote, being pregnant. So just going to add that plot twist on one of the strangest and often most difficult parts of your life, ladies.
I wanted to bring something up really quickly. It's sort of related, unrelatedly related, but it sort of speaks to this whole, you know, what do diseases speak to, if not the condition of being human? There's this art installation that I think it's somewhere in Scandinavia, and I'm not 100% sure exactly where, but I only just now found out about it. But speaking of leaking fluid, I don't know if you guys have heard of this. It is this robot hydraulic arm that is slowly, has been for years, slowly leaking hydraulic fluid. And its own only function is to sweep the hydraulic fluid back into itself and collect it.
Saw this recently. Yeah.
It is wild. And it is like very, if you think about it, what better metaphor for like human condition than that? You know, we're all just slowly leaking fluid and trying our best to gather it back up and shove it back into ourselves, knowing that one day the clock will run out.
I love Sisyphean art. That's what I call that stuff. Like I love the where the, you know, the little mechanism where the you put something on a box and it opens up and
grabs it.
Or you have a switch that turns on the mechanism that turns itself off and closes the box.
Is the little crane that dips its beak in the water kind of in that vein, or that's
I think that's kind of in that vein.
It's adjacent.
Yeah, it's a kissing cousin, and this
stuff, dipping cousin at the very least.
It's a dropsy cousin.
There
we'll
go.
Work on it. Okay. But this is a serious condition, and being pregnant is a serious condition. But so is dropsy. Of course, they're very different conditions, but they will have an effect on your life. Also, to that point about our good friends at Illumination Global Unlimited and their predilection for fine print, this condition, dropsy, can be a known side effect of some medicine. Mm. So you might get high blood pressure medication and the doctor might say, hey, just for a heads up, man, have you heard about dropsy? Pull up the Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's a good read. It reminds me of another one that we're not going to get to in depth, but I think it's worth a mention. Gout is another condition that has a sort of a silly name and causes certain types of inflammation, or like I believe it's urate crystals that accumulate in your joints, and it can cause all kinds of inflammation and swelling in the foot, in the extremities, I believe. But I think it's largely in the foot.
It's arthritis.
It is.
Like you said, too much uric acid.
Which is usually a symptom of eating a poor diet.
I associate it with very prominent historical figures, like the kings, the emperors.
That's right, because they ate all that rich, you know, potted meat and stuff.
Ben Franklin, famously a gout enthusiast.
There's a really good episode of King of the Hill where Bobby gets gout because he becomes obsessed with this delicatessen that opens like in their mall or something, and he's just constantly eating like really rich, you know, deli meats and like, you know, what is it, like liverwurst and stuff, and he develops gout as a child, which is usually not when you would develop gout. Gout is sort of a condition of more seasoned individuals.
It's like a lifestyle condition. Also, to amend it very quickly, Napoleon, I'm referencing Napoleon III. And I got to tell you, before we move on, I have a pretty good friend of mine in the Atlanta area. And a few years ago, he told me he had gout. And I was, because I didn't know much about it, except what I've read of historical leaders, I was low-key impressed. And I started treating him a little bit like an aristocrat. Because I was like, that's a rich person disease.
I wonder if it's our same friend, because I know a friend, an Atlanta friend, who also has gout, and it has definitely caused him to have to reassess his diet and stay away from certain things. But wouldn't that be a trip if it was the same person? We will not name names to protect the gouted.
Right. You know, no one's above a bout of the gout, and it may indeed be more prevalent than we think. Yeah. Oh, man. So, okay. Oh,
but one last thing. The gout, too. A lot of preserved seafood can cause it because of a lot. I think it's very high in salt and things like cod and canned tuna. And if you eat too much of that stuff, you can develop gout.
Finally, for anybody who's like, man, this gout sounds like a hot new thing. How do I get in on the ground floor?
Bro, have you been getting ads for like fancy tinned fish?
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Fishwife.
That's one, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been tempted. And I find the idea of tinned fish disgusting. But when they slap a fancy-looking, colorful logo on it and use the word, you know, like gourmet, I'm like, sign me up. Send me those sardines in the mail.
I kid you not. About once a year, I go through an intent. It's because of my prepper stuff. I go through another tinned survival foods phase, and tinned fish is so popular in Europe. In Japan, there's a, oh gosh, maybe we can do an episode about it. There's a chain of bars called Mr. Kanzo, and they're Kanzumis. And what they do, they just sell canned food.
Wow.
And they heat it up for you. But yeah, man.
But there's probably some nice options though, right? Like some different flavors and all kinds of different.
Oh, there's some. Yeah. There's some great stuff, but then there's also some stuff that Americans would find pretty disturbing, like canned bear is like canned Baloo.
I've always wanted to eat the bar rather than having the bar eat me. So maybe one day.
To sew it up, like I fear that I feel the opposite of you when it comes to, again, it's like a continuing decade long seasonal fascination with tinned fish, because I love the idea of it. I feel like it should be, it can be considered kind of fancy in Europe too. But then when I open it, I'm always thinking, man, I could have just gone to the grocery store and gotten, you know, a fresh fish.
Or, you know, it's definitely not the apocalypse times yet. I could have just saved this, you know, for when it really counted.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that.
Bit of a missed opportunity kind of, you know,
when we filmed something for Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, where I was unpacking an MRE the whole time in the back of my head. I'm like, I better not regret this. I better get my crap together. I got to immediately replace this. What happens if the world ends? Because I'm a crazy person. Well, so
we all go a little mad sometimes. But we mentioned that that dropsy can be a sign of a more serious stuff. And that you should.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
If you are experiencing the shiny skin, any of these inflammations of the extremities, you should go see a doctor, because it could potentially be a symptom in and of itself, especially if it's accompanied by shortness of breath, any kinds of chest pains, or irregular heartbeat.
And luckily, the So what we're going to do with lice is we're going to talk about symptoms. We're also going to talk about how they are usually mitigated, treated, or cured. We are not medical professionals. Do see a medical professional if you suspect you have any of these symptoms or feeling discomfort. I'm glad we got that in there. We should have said it at the top, but yes, we are not doctors of medicine. So how do you cure this? Luckily, sometimes it goes away on its own. Other treatments might include wearing Spanx, kid you not, wearing compression garments.
That's right.
And trying to leverage your circulatory system, so raising the affected area higher than your heart. You can get medication to flush out that extra fluid. A big thing, just like you mentioned with gout, a big thing is changes in diet or maybe finding different medications if the side effects lead to edema. And Max, I fully agree with you. You have a note here in the brief where you said something we all learned recording podcasts during a lockdown. Don't sit for extended periods. Get your steps in. I think all three of us live in houses with stairs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My studio's in the basement, and I record here, work here for all of our stuff.
So you're up and down.
Yeah. All day long. At least I take it for granted, actually, but, I definitely am up and down at least 10 or 13 times a day, if not more. So there's that.
Yeah. I love it. So you guys haven't seen the new place, right? Yeah. You haven't seen this new place yet. It has an egregious number of patios. As for, nice. For an apartment, it has two patios and a rooftop. And so whenever I'm on a phone call, just so you guys know, because we do talk all the time, whenever I'm on a phone call and I sound like I'm huffing a little bit and I don't have the video on, I guarantee you guys, I'm just tromping from the roof to the first floor and back and forth. I'm like a salmon. I'm like the noble passage of the salmon that has nothing to do with dropsy. You probably are wondering, folks, where does the name dropsy come from? It's time for one of our favorite things, a little bit of etymology.
Huzzah. Yeah, indeed. We're huge fans of etymology here on Ridiculous History. Merriam-Webster traces the etymology of dropsy to a Middle English word, drapesi. I don't know why I said it like Italian.
I love
it's
it.
It's Middle English. Let's call it drapes. Nope. How is Middle English pronounced?
Drop-esse.
There you go. Which is actually short for a not that much longer word. It just has a weird Y at the beginning, which would be idrop-esse, I guess, right?
Oh, idrop-esse. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just shorten that. That's easy to drop the Y could well be silent here too. It feels like what a silent Y would do, but who knows? Middle English is bonkers.
It's
beyond
nuts.
Comprehension.
I had to read Canterbury Tales, which is, you know, Chaucer's great unfinished work.
It all sounds like the Jabberwocky. You know what I mean?
I love it. I love it. It's like reading Canterbury Tales in the original version of English it's written in. It is exactly like hearing that song from that Italian guy who didn't know English. And he was like,
I know this guy.
What? We've got to play just
hit me with it.
One clip. Okay.
Please.
Golden
Age,
9 years old.
Okay, so if you guys can see, this guy looks sort of like a werewolf with glasses. Let's fast forward to where he's actually singing. Yeah. Give one more.
No, you're dead on, Ben. It's like I said Jabberwocky vibes, but because it's all like ill swithing and piddle dip will in the whippy dipple in the sweet bee. You know, it's like, come on, man, what is this nonsense? I love it.
Exactly. Yeah. And do check out the rest of that clip, because I believe that song came about because the musician said, these Italians, the Italian public, they just love English songs. It doesn't matter what you're saying. I could just make a song that sounds like that language and it would blow up. And he was right. He was all right with that one. And what might mystify some of us about the etymology here is drapesse and idropesse are actually from Latin. a much more reasonable word, hydropisis. Hydropisis.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know why that seems like less of a twist than hydrapace, but I'm just looking for excuses to say hydrapace at this point.
And Ben, to your point about gout, I think this is also true of dropsy, that there are some notable individuals that were afflicted with this condition.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're looking at this. Beethoven, it appears, did not roll over as often as he should have, and as a result, had edema. And then, you know, famously not great president, Andrew Jackson, also had the dropsy. And
also, when I hear dropsy, I think, like, I'm going to get the dropsy on you, you know?
Yeah, like, I think like drop trow, et cetera. This, however, look, folks, we talked off air. We know this is probably going to be a two-parter because there are a lot of these diseases and a lot of them have funny names. That's what we knew before we went into this. So we're not going to get to everything today, but we do want to introduce you to just a couple more. Here's one that always confused me. I know somebody who got this. Hand, foot, and mouth disease, the combo meal of medical conditions.
Why do we got to bring meals into it, Ben?
Like, have you heard that kids can get this? Young kids?
Yeah.
It's most common young kids, actually.
I think that's right.
You get in a similar way you get pink eye.
Okay. All right. I always thought it sounded like a condition for non-human animals. Like, growing up, I always thought it was something, you know, they got on the farm.
Well, I think there is a version of it that is hoof and mouth disease, which is a farm animal version of this condition, if I'm not mistaken.
There is, yes.
Ah, good.
So you're not wrong.
It's interesting because they're very similar named, but you cannot transmit them. Like, you can't get the animal version of it.
What's
as
that
human.
Called? Zoonotic. Yeah.
Zoonotic.
Like potentially the COVID was potentially zoonotic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not related to foot and mouth disease, which is also called hoof and mouth disease.
Jeez, I'm starting to think hands are sort of dirty.
Or related to hand and glove disease, which is a bizarre, unhealthy obsession with the music of Morrissey.
Right, right. Or related to hand-feet disease, which is a condition I made up where your feet slowly transform into hands.
Terrifying. You wouldn't be able to balance. It's untenable, Ben. It's untenable.
it's unreasonable. What kind of world are we living in? Well, we're living in a world with hand, foot, and mouth disease still. And that's the street name. The real name for this thing is, we kid you not, even worse. Mr. Brown, do you want to do the honors on this one?
Oh, absolutely. Coxsackie.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring.
With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Coxsackie. Man, I saw the funniest clip from, I think it was like outtakes from Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. And he was talking to not Woody Harrelson, the other one, Matthew McConaughey. And he goes, so when you and Woody were both on the set of True Detective, wasn't there a concern that somewhere in the world a sack was not being hackied?
I remember seeing the
McConaughey cracks up. You know, that's it was a tag.
I love the bloopers because they show you that everybody is actually having a good time for the most part.
Not completely angry, but
Benedict Cumberbatch. So if you didn't have your accent, do you think people would know that you're not a good actor?
That's very funny. His jokes are so good because they start, you think you know where they're going to go, and then they take you somewhere else completely. And they're so quick, kind of almost like Norm Macdonald style. They're these little mini stories that are in joke form. Kind of, I think it's really brilliant stuff. So but yeah, Coxsackie, Ben, tell us about Coxsackie.
Well, it's going to do a lot for stand-up comedy. Coxsackie virus is the cause of hand, foot, mouth disease. It lives in the digestive tract. It creates these blisters on your mouth, your tongue, your esophagus.
Gross.
As our pal Esther Inglis Arkell points out, it's a real thing. But Esther says, quote, naming it Coxsackie virus is like naming a planet Uranus. Someone should have said something before it was made official. I tend to agree, but it's tough because Coxsackie is a hilarious sounding word, right? Especially if you are a very high-minded intellectual like all of us listening today. But it may not have anything to do with the sort of more bawdy or lurid associations.
Nope. It does not refer to any swimsuit area related things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead, we'll get to that one in a second. Hand, foot, and mouth disease, or HFMD, to all the people unfortunate enough to have to deal with it so often that they just made it an acronym. HFMD, it's mild. It is contagious. Like we mentioned, it's common in very young children, and it's not something that has a specific treatment, which surprised me because it seems like it can, as you guys pointed out, be really common in kids. So why can't you fix it? It's been around long enough. I think the solution is like the early days of COVID, quarantining and washing your hands. I got a finger gun from Max, so I'm going to take that as a yes. I feel so cool when people throw the finger gun.
Oh, man. Pew, pew. Yeah. So symptoms of this quite silly sounding disease are not silly at all. They include things like fever. You mentioned the sores, but also sore throat, additional rashes that can appear on the buttocks even. And the soles of the feet. And it actually, the name refers to the virus that causes it, which is, of course, the Coxsackie virus, which is all one word.
Of course.
We're going to hear about what Coxsackie actually is. It's a little less remarkable than you might think, but also pretty funny as to why it is called this.
Yeah, and maybe I've got to note something here. It may sound like it may be something we could get lost in the shuffle, but I'm really glad you pointed out that people can get these blister-like lesions on the soles of their feet. Having any kind of injury on the soles of your feet is incredibly dangerous. It's also phenomenally uncomfortable. It's so dangerous, in fact, that there used to be a specific type of torture used to punish people called bastinado. Have you guys heard of this? It's a punishment from the maritime days, or at least no. That's where I associate it.
It sounds like ostinato, though, which is a musical term that I believe refers to kind of like very kind of clipped sort of repetitive phrases in classical music. What is a bastinado?
This is frighteningly specific. It is the practice of beating the soles of someone's bare feet. It's kind of flogging just delivered to the bottom of your feet so that you can't run away. Think about the evil
implications. What's the Hussein's fond of that? They did it like to the whole like soccer team when they disapproved of their performance?
I think so. It's loved by terrible people throughout history. It's been used all across the world just because it's so effective. But that's me just going out of the way to mention specific types of torture, which is a totally different episode. We got to stay hooked on this hoof, foot, and mouth disease thing. Hand, foot, and mouth. Yes. Hoof, foot, and mouth is the one for shapeshifters. The good thing is it's not zoonotic. And I think we've already clearly implied that young children get it more often because it's in the digestive tract. They need diaper changes. They need help using the bathroom. They also tend to, you know, be very exploratory and putting their hands in their mouths and stuff. And they can't see germs. So until you develop object permanence, are germs even real? Or is that just a story your parents tell you because they're lame and they don't want you to have fun and poop yourself?
Oh, geez, Louise. So we've been teasing a little bit kind of goofy sounding name ain't for nothing, right? A lot of these names come from perhaps Old English translations, maybe scientists that discovered them. There's any number of reasons that a thing can be called what it is in the medical community. This one, however, is actually named after a pretty small town on the Hudson River where this Coxsackie virus was first isolated.
Right. And isolated here doesn't mean that the disease started in this place. It means that this was the location, like in this town, that's where they found the thing and were able to get it closely studied and able to point to it and say, okay, we've figured out the cause of hand, foot, and mouth disease. Sorry, I keep wanting to call it hoof, foot, and mouth disease right now. Just the internal rhymes
encompass
better.
All of it, you know?
Yeah. So, okay, they get described by this guy who's named Gilbert Dahldorf.
Great name, Gil.
He was looking into outbreaks in 1947 in upstate New York, and he was pretty sure these were outbreaks of something called poliomyelitis. And through this investigation, he figured out that Coxsackie virus, named after Coxsackie, New York, is the cause of hand, foot, and mouth disease. And there's an interesting rabbit hole here. This is like, you know how there are a lot of small towns where they have the one thing that they're famous for? Like the festival,
the
every
industry,
small town.
The festival, yeah. the particular type of macrame, whatever.
The fourth largest frying pan and so on.
World's biggest Adirondack chair.
Exactly. Coxsackie is probably most well known for the Coxsackie virus. I don't know
if that's kind of a bummer.
I don't know if it's the PR they want.
No, that's the one they got. Sometimes you just got to make do.
Max, there's an interesting note here. You say as of 2018, Coxsackie's population is just north of 8,000 people. And there is, quote, no mention whether or not is the epicenter of the New York State pornography scene.
Oh, well, that's what they're known for, then. That can be their other thing.
Well, we're not sure, yes or no, but
wait. You can neither confirm nor deny, Max. Oh, you just throw this name in.
Neither confirm nor deny. Yeah,
Max, but I mean, dirty boy. You've been reading too much Joyce.
We just did that episode.
No. Who can blame us? Do check out our James Joyce episode.
It also, all of us.
Also, you guys, mea culpa. I know. Sometimes I instantly turn into like congressional investigator. I don't think that was necessary. It's like, so, Mr. Williams, you have an interesting note here. How would you respond? Luckily, these two conditions that we explored today are not fatal, and they are often going to go away on their own. Small changes can help mitigate them. But that's not the story with all the diseases, all the weird diseases. We're going to cover more, I think, in part two, because we're all having a lot of fun with this. We're going to get to rickets, mumps, brain fever. And I got to tell you guys, one of my favorites for years and years and years has been consumption, entirely because of Doc Holliday and Tombstone.
I will be your Huckleberry, Ben. Thank you for asking. I like a lot of these diseases. Y'all can quote me on that. Sure. The ones that are like band names, there's like the mumps, you know, consumption, the flu even. You know, but like I think it gives it a lot of weight and gravitas when you add a the to the beginning of it.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
Nobody says like... Well, so they do say the common cold, but no one says the cold. It's a cold.
The flu.
Yeah. But like, there is, what is it that determines whether something is worthy of getting a the? You'd never say the rickets. You might say, I got a case of the rickets.
But you wouldn't say
the rickets, you know? I don't know, Ben. Do you guys have any theories about this? I'm intrigued.
It's interesting because we see something similar. I can talk about how it happens in geography and geopolitics. Like, you know, there are some places that are called the Gambia or the Ukraine. Yeah.
The Gambia.
A lot of folks are moving away from that now. They don't care for it because, at least in the case of Ukraine, the argument is calling it the Ukraine seems to imply that it is just a region of another country.
Like how is you it go the to the Donbass a thing like that.
Right. Like how you go to the Southwest.
That's right.
Or something. So I get that, but I don't think that's the same logic behind diseases. Maybe someone can help us with this because honestly, I should have been looking this up, you guys. But instead, I watched Tombstone and I went through a list of Doc Holliday quotes. So that's on me. That's my bad.
Well, a little bit of Tombstone trivia. I believe the guy that directed Tombstone is the father. It might be not directed. It might be the cinematographer. Is the father of one of my current favorite weirdo directors, Panos Cosmatos.
Oh, I love that guy.
Behind the Beyond the Black Rainbow and Mandy and that awesome The Visit, I believe is what it's called, in the Guillermo del Toro Cabinet of Curiosities. But yeah, his father, I think, directed Tombstone.
Why, John Abringo?
That's all I got.
Like somebody just walked over your grave.
Oh, yeah, those are good. Those are very quotable. I think Val Kilmer did a really good job at portraying a man with the consumption.
Exactly. Yeah, agreed. And we hope that you have enjoyed this episode, folks. This is coming to you hot and fresh on a Thursday. We hope everybody has a good weekend. We will be back with more terrible real life diseases that we think have funny names. Thanks, of course, to Mr. Max Williams, our super producer, our research associate. Thanks to our own funny disease, Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. the Quister. Missed the heck out of him.
The Human Stain. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a book, isn't that, by Roth?
Yeah, one day Jonathan might hear all these weird things we shout him out as at the end of episodes. I hope he doesn't get a compilation track of it. Or maybe we should give it to him for, you know, an end of the year present. Thanks also to Mr. Alex Williams. Thanks to Alex Circa. We have an abundance of Alexes. Alexis?
Mm-hmm, indeed. Christopher Osiotis, here in spirit. Eve's Jeff Coates. And do please check out her new podcast called On Theme, which is a story about Black storytelling in all its forms.
Yes, thanks also to our pals over at Ridiculous Crime, Zarin, Elizabeth, producer Dave. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. We can't wait to hang out and go find more ridiculous diseases. I've got to stop reading Doc Holliday quotes. I'm going to be coming in hot with a terrible Holliday impression in the next episode.
Aw, you do you, buddy. And we'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.